You are listening to the weekly podcast of Journey Christian Church, located on 441, 1 mile north of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, journeychristian.com. Today, Campus Pastor Joel Craig will finish out our series called Christmas Family Style. Today, we will be looking at the vital role parents have in raising, protecting, and encouraging the next generation coming up. Our scripture text comes from Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Today's message is entitled, All I Want for Christmas Is.
We're going to have fun this weekend. John asked me to preach towards our younger generation of families and individuals and couples, and that is right where I'm at. You know, he talked about the crown of glory last week. I don't necessarily have a crown of glory. Mine's more like a beard of glory. It's starting to creep in patches. That's why I keep it trimmed up, because when it grows out, you can see it pretty prevalently. And so that's where my crown of glory comes in. And actually, it's more so that it's not just turning gray, but it's going away. So I've got these like thinning parts back here. And for some reason, every time I get my hair cut, my forehead grows a little bit bigger. So yeah, heading out of my 30s, apparently that's the time frame, right? We used to give my dad all kinds of grief growing up because he had the hairstyle that we like to call the moat. I don't know if some of you gentlemen in here are in this area or not, but had the patch of hair right up front and then hair all around the back and the sides, but then this moat of baldness that kind of went around the island up front. It was awesome. We just gave him all sorts of different grief. But I particularly remember one Christmas. My dad's a music guy, and he was directing this huge holiday show up in Rockford, Illinois. Thousands of people literally would bus in to see this production, and he was kind of in charge of it. So he didn't spend much time on stage because he was running around, but when he came out, he had one part on stage, which was to lead the choir in the Hallelujah chorus, okay? Huge moment in the show. So he comes walking out in his gleaming white tuxedo. That's right, you heard me correctly. Gleaming white tuxedo with the tail and everything. He comes right out in the middle stage and turns around to face the choir. And my brothers and I are like, hey, dad's not bald anymore. How does this happen? Well, he had gotten connected to the latest infomercial on late night TV, the spray on hair. Okay. Okay, so we're like, man, that looks crazy. That's awesome. So we get done with the show, and we go back to congratulate him and everything. And from the audience, it looked like he had a full head of hair. Now, when you're standing right next to him, it looked like somebody spray painted his head black around his hair. Now, the unique thing about it was he's in a production, right? The stage lights are very hot, so he's sweating like crazy. And yes, that's exactly what happened, what you're thinking. It's dripping down like the back of his head, his neck, onto his white tuxedo. And we about wet ourselves as a family. It was awesome. It was just an awesome family moment, a shining Craig family moment for us that we will never forget. Dad, I know you're going to kill me when you watch this later, but man, was it awesome. It was worth it. I hope that you have some moments and some memories that you can share with the people that you love this holiday season. We do recognize that there are many of us in these rooms that have some difficult memories around this time. So we just pray that it is a blessed season for everyone, all of us here, all of us that are listening, that it is an honoring one to God as best we possibly can be. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. That's correct, man in the front row, right? All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Now, this has actually played out very, very interesting in my household this year. Because if you'll notice, our two youngest ones, Caden and Carice, do not have their two front teeth. I didn't bust them out or anything. They naturally fell out, except Caden did bust one of his out on a side table when he fell out of bed and smashed his face on it. He's fine. Don't worry about him. Our family's doing great even without our front teeth. They're growing like crazy, and I do get a knock on my preaching because I always talk about my family and my wife and things that I'm going through in the here and now, but quite honestly, that's how God is teaching me and growing me. Like Pastor Ryan said, that's how I learn so much from my children and from my wife, Christy. And that's how I would imagine most of us in this room are learning and growing closer to God, because we've got to be in this together, don't we? We've got to be walking these roads together. And so what I'm going through, I'm going to share because it's helped me and hopefully it will help you. And so we dig into people's lives. We dig into our scriptures. We listen to the Holy Spirit and hopefully grow closer to God through all of these things. Now, when we start to ask our children what they really do want for Christmas, you get a whole mess of different things, don't you? My kids are video games or the latest Disney thing or animated movie. Carolina, right now, our oldest daughter, is all about a puppy. She wants a dog. She has to have a puppy. And I just try to remind her, we actually already have a puppy. Her name's Wrigley. She's super cute. Even though she hates everyone and everything, she is our puppy, okay? And we're not going to get another dog until this dog goes away. So she's like plotting against our dog now, which is not good. You know, she doesn't like anybody except me. She yells at the kids. She yells at anybody that comes to the door. She's just an angry, angry little elf, right? All Lina wants for Christmas is a puppy. She's not going to get it this year. Sorry, dear. But our Christmas lists have changed as we've grown up, haven't they? When we were young, or when I was young, I went on a few year run of all I asked for was G.I. Joe stuff and He-Man stuff. That was it. That's all I wanted. And I could get duplicates. I didn't care because then I could do crazy battle scenes with multiple characters. I didn't care. That's all I wanted. But nowadays, that's changed a little bit, you know, from just wanting simple things. Maybe most of you guys are in the same boat as what I am. I no longer just want my two front teeth for Christmas. I would really like for my two frontal lobes to actually function properly again. Your frontal lobes are the part of your brain that help with your reasoning and your processing and your thinking. The parts that help you plan and discern different things. That's what I want. I just want my brain back. Because it seems like it goes away very, very frequently. When John was talking last week about how our brain cells begin to deteriorate even in the womb, I'm in the stage of life right now, many of you are as well, that you start to realize that your brain cells are deteriorating, right? You see, when you're young, you think that you know absolutely everything. When you're in the middle, which is me right now, you can't figure out why you don't know everything. And when you're older, then you just understand that you never really knew anything in the first place. And so I want to encourage us and speak some truths from the lives of a young couple that we often talk about around Christmas time, Mary and Joseph. But it may be from a little bit of a different perspective this weekend. And so just a couple of things from their life. We're not going to overwhelm us theologically today. We're not going to make your brain hurt. We're just going to say a couple of easy things for us to move on through this holiday season together. Interesting a little thing that I found. There's a Holmes-Rahe stress level test that you can take that essentially affixes number values to different events in life that can cause you stress. Things like circumstantial and situational changes that assign LCU values or life change units that essentially put numbers onto different events to tell you what your stress level is. Now, the scale is this. If you score 0 to 150, you're doing very, very well in the past year. If you score 150 to 300, that means that you have a 50% chance within the next 2 years of life to get seriously ill because your stress levels are just going through the roof. If you score 300 and higher on that list, that means that your percentages goes up to 80%. You have 80% chance of getting seriously ill within the next 2 years. Do you want to know what Mary and Joseph's stress level would have been if they were put into this test? 435. 435. Between marital upheaval, adding of family members, pregnancy, changing of financials, changing of living situations, sleep habits, etc. Not to mention that Mary being pregnant was actually a violation of Jewish law, and so that could have actually resulted in death if they took it to the nth degree. They were just off the charts. And so how did they get through this? How did they do this crazy, stressful life that our younger generation tends to be living in and navigating through? Here's just a couple of things we want to share with you today. The first one is this, is that they loved the way that God loves. They loved the way that God loves. Let's read part of this story out of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, I'm pretty sure that none of this was in Joseph or Mary's plans when they caught each other's eye, right? This wasn't on the radar at all. Let's really dive into their situation here, because this is pretty complex. You know, they're young and in love, and the world is at their fingertips, right? You remember those days? He's got a good job and everything is kind of falling into place. All their wedding plans are coming along nicely. The caterer's booked. They got the swing kings ready to go for the reception. They're picking out colors and flowers, and hopefully those will match each other. Should they throw rice or should they release doves? Because releasing doves just sounds so much more biblical, right? Their marriage counseling is probably over by now. And even though the guy said that they'll probably fight over money and sex, they just know that that's not going to be the case for them because they're so in love, right? That's where these young folks were. There's no way possible that could happen to them. Joseph had to have mastered the phrase, yes, dear, whatever you think is best. He had to have, right? So Joseph liked it and he put a ring on it. That's essentially where we're at right now in the story. He liked it, so he put a ring on it, and then all of a sudden, bam, life hits, and it hits full speed. I don't know what the bams have been in your life, but we've all experienced them in one way or another. Those moments when you know that the life that you were living or were wanting to live will never even be an option for you anymore. Moving forward, it will just never be the same again, whether that's illnesses or deaths or infertility, job explosion, marriage explosion, friendships explosion, and life is going off all around us like this huge fireworks display, isn't it? But not the ones that we often see around here, not the ones at Disney World or the ones on the 4th of July, those ones where they just explode and everybody goes, wow. I'm talking about the ones when people look at your life, they go, wow. You okay? I'm sorry to hear that. Bam, and life will never be the same. That's where these kids were at. That's where many of us are at. And how did they get through it? They loved like God loves. They loved like God loves. They moved right in the midst of the chaotic situation because it was made incredibly clear through angelic interpretation that this is what they were going to do. This is what God had for them in their life. And so they said, we're in. This is what God's asked us to do. Let's do it. They walked away from what the world would have said and what probably likely did say to them throughout the situation. What would our world say to a young couple engaged to be married, pregnant, not his? What would happen with that unexpected pregnancy? I think you know the percentages. I think you've heard the horror stories of what's going on specifically in the United States. This was a difficult, stressful situation. Legally, he could have done just about whatever he wanted to take care of the situation. But he goes against what the world would say, and he chooses love. He chooses to love like God loves. He takes his bride, he takes his soon-to-be adopted son, and he says to the world for the next 2,000 plus years, this is what God has given me, so this is how I am going to lead the best that I possibly can in my life. He chooses love. You know, do you think that everything that's happened in this world is exactly what God had wanted for us? No. Absolutely not. Actually, none of it was. When he set out at the very beginning, this wasn't what he wanted for us. The plans got all screwed up when the garden happened. Everything got messed up, and we had to change the course of human history, and God did that. And you see it all throughout history, that God is constantly and consistently pursuing both you and me. No matter how many times that we walk away from him, no matter how many times that we get it in our minds to follow the ways of the world, no matter how many times that we're wandering in the desert, sometimes choosing to follow God, sometimes choosing not to follow God, God promises all throughout that he is our Father and we are his chosen heirs along with Jesus. And he proved to all of us how much he is willing to give up for us when he sent this little child in a manger to live a sinless life, to die on a cross, so that you and I might be able to understand and experience the family that he has always wanted for us and prepared for us. It's just a matter of us choosing it. It's a matter of us choosing love. It's one of the most revealing ways that people will see Christ in your life. When life explodes all over the place, when it blows up in your face, they don't say, "Wow, are you okay?" They go, "Wow, you're okay. Why is that?" And it opens up this door for you to explain the love of Jesus, maybe like they have never heard before. We're to love like God loved Noah and his family. We're to love like God loved Abraham and Sarah and gave them the chance to do things that they didn't think that they could actually do. We're to love like God loved the Israelites and their roller coaster ride through the desert. We're to love like God loved Joshua when he tore down the walls that were impossible to bring down. We're to love like God loved Daniel when he rescued him from the lion's den. Love like God loved when he honored us with the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. And love like God loved when Jesus chose to lay down his life for us. In this season, who have you loved like that? Who have you given a chance to? Who have you given a second chance to, a third chance to? Who have you been on the roller coaster ride with? Who have you broken down walls to get to reach? Who have you rescued with the truths of God's word and his scriptures? Who have you given the greatest gift of all to this season? See, Joseph and Mary got through this season because they chose to live life according to somebody else. Life all about somebody else rather than themselves. They chose to love like God loves. Secondly is this, they appreciated the moment. They appreciated the moment. What I think is one of the most subtle statements in the entire birth narrative. You probably glance over it. You don't take too much time to look at it. But here it is in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. It says this, very simply, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. How many of us stop and think about that spot? Very rarely do we. And yet the initial statement of it, Mary pondered these things and treasured them in her heart. So what are you telling us, Joel? What are we supposed to do? Is that the takeaway today? Think about stuff? Yeah. Everything's happening around this event. I mean, life is exploding for them. One of the greatest events that this world has ever seen. And you want us to focus on thinking about it. Yep. Because I think that's what gets so lost in this time of year. Everybody thinks that they're going to have time because they've got some days off work. Kids are off school. They've got family all together. We're going to have plenty of time to do this. And it just gets thrown to the wayside. Me being the number one culprit. That's why I'm so animated about this, because I fail at this. I need to appreciate the moment. Mary and Joseph are coming off a virgin pregnancy, which is pretty intense, wouldn't you imagine? Then they have to travel quite a bit on donkeys or little red wagons, which the donkeys are not actually in the birth narrative. We just assume that they're there. She ends up giving birth in a barn, stable, living room, someplace with a feeding trough for animals. You know, the innkeeper in every Christmas play that usually has one line and usually messes that up, right? He doesn't even get a shout out in Scripture. He's not even mentioned in Scripture. It just says there's no room. Then the shepherds start coming over and they check it all out because the angels scared them to death and said, "Hey, you need to go check this out." So they went. And then kings show up for the very first Christmas presents to be given. This is real life happening for them right now. And that's what happens to us. You get all these visitors after you bring a baby home, right? Some of them you want to come over. Some of them you really don't want to come over. Some of them you let hold your new baby. Some of them you don't let hold your new baby. When you come to church, it's like a minefield for new mothers out here, right? I mean, you're like doing this and going back and forth and you're like, oh, no, no. Your whole house starts to fill up with those tiny little hand sanitizer bottles because you're afraid of germs. I mean, this is what's happening. All of a sudden, your baby's crying, diapers need to be changed, sleep is at a premium, and your world is completely turned upside down. What does Mary do? She thinks about it. She stops and thinks about it. But she does a little bit more than that because it says that she treasures it. She values what is going on in life. No matter the chaos, she values it. She knows what's going on. She knows how special these moments are, how fleeting these moments are going to be. And she takes her time. Even in the midst of all of that chaos, she cherishes what is happening in every single moment. She's heard the stories from her growing up of what could be when this Messiah comes. And now it's actually here in her arms. And she's having a hard time figuring this all out. So she stops and thinks about it. She treasures it. She treasures what God has done, what he is doing, and is excited about what he is about to do in their lives. This is deep in biblical tradition, deep in biblical tradition, reflecting on the gifts of God, the glory of God, the story of God in our lives, how we get a piece of that story. We get a part in that narrative, remembering the garden. Remembering the enslavement, remembering the Exodus, remembering the law, remembering the moving into the Holy Lands, remembering the faithfulness of God, remembering the blood that was spilt and the body that was beaten, remembering that one day he is coming back again. It really goes back to the heart of the Sabbath that we've talked about as followers in here before. John preached about it a couple of months ago. The problem is we just don't do it. We get moving around so often that we don't take the time to reflect on what God is doing. John has really been hammering this home to us as a staff, and it's been tremendous. He asks us on a regular basis. You know, the great thing about your pastor, the one that I get to follow, and it's a blessing and a privilege, is that when he preaches a message to us on the weekends, it's something that he is really enveloping into his life. Since he preached on Sabbath, he has been dedicated. I can firsthand tell you, he will not return my texts, he will not return my emails, because he is on Sabbath and he is focusing on God for a particular day. And it's growing him as a follower of Jesus Christ. It's growing him as a father, as a husband. It's growing him as a man of God. And it is amazing that we get to follow a man like that. But he is hammering it home for all of us. And I want you to hear that from me. You know, we do these things every year as a staff called staff evaluations. It's great to kind of figure out what we've done, where we're headed, do some vision stuff. And John and I sat down for mine at a lunch, and we're going through, and everything's going swimmingly well. He's like, good job, good job, good job. And then we get to this question, and he goes, Joel, how's your Sabbath going? I go, well, John, I feel like I need to be honest. He's like, I hope you would. I go, it stinks. It stinks. I really struggle with doing that. He goes, well, to be quite honest, your stage of life, your family, I don't know how you do it, but you have to. You have to find the time to relax, to take a moment, to breathe, to reflect on what God is doing, to spend time in God's word. And I read God's word, but it has become a checklist sometimes, and not my Sabbath, not my time of reflection that Mary did here, that God has called us to do, that our leader in this church is striving for his staff to do. I find myself all too often wearing the badge of busyness that gets in my way of my relationship with God. It's got to change. I know that. I think you know that too. But what are we going to do to change that? If that's you, and I'm guessing that it is a lot of us in this room, I want to really hone in on this simple truth that we can find all throughout Scripture. Specifically for me, the one that keeps going over and over in my head is Psalm 46:10. It says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. In the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the crazy, be still and know that he is God. If you can't take a whole day, take moment by moment by moment. When the kids go to bed, when the family finally leaves, when it's time to just relax, take the time to reflect and appreciate the moments that God has given us in this world. We're to love like God loves, and we're to appreciate the moments. You know, what Jesus did so often in Scripture was he retired to a quiet place to pray and to be with God. Do you know of anyone in human history that needed to not do that like Jesus? He was actually a part of God himself. They are three in one, and how mysterious that is, but yet Jesus Christ, who came to this place to live as a man in flesh, was still fully God and fully man. He had intimate relationship with God, and still he showed us the direction to go to quiet places, spend time praying and pondering and treasuring up what God is doing in this life. Do what Mary does here in the midst of her world-changing event. Do what the book of James instructs us to do in the New Testament, where he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Spend time being still today. To just stop today. Ponder, reflect, treasure. Do that today. Do that this week. Do that this holiday. Do that this life. And we had one of these family moments on Friday night. Kids have been a little bit crazy this past week. It's the last week of school. Not too crazy, just a little bit wild, which is about normal for them. You know, most of the time they're at a 7 or an 8. A lot of times they'll jump to a 10. A lot of times they will jump to a 10. And so they're probably 8 or 9 throughout this whole week, going a little bit bonkers, ready for Christmas. Carice woke up this morning crying and throwing fits because she wanted Christmas presents this morning. And we had to explain to her that that was not how this was going to work. So Friday night, we get done with the week of school, and we decide, hey, we need to take these kids out on the town. We need to show them a good time. And so we did it. We go to our favorite family place, Sam's Club. That's right, people. Sam's Club. Lots of stuff to play with in Sam's Club. You got iPads sitting out there for kids to wipe their snotty, sticky little fingers all over. Toys all over the place. They can ride bikes through the outside. I mean, this is a kid's paradise, right? I can also feed my family of five for less than $10. So take that and rewind it back. So we go there and we have a good time and we're sitting down to dinner. You know, you get a choice, hot dog or pizza. Hot dog or pizza, that's all you get. Yay, what a great dad you are. Okay, so we're sitting down to eat, and Caden busts this out. Mommy. What, Caden? You never know what's going to happen when Caden says that. I'm going to marry you, Mommy. Daddy, I'm going to marry Mommy. And I'm like, all right. I go, I think she's actually already married, buddy, but that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool, you know. It was a revealing moment. That mom has really loved on that little boy quite a bit. It's an honor to do life with them. And you see it in how they interact. And now we pause for a little bit, and Christy starts asking, so what are some of the things that you want for Christmas? What are some list things that we could get, or we could send to Santa and all this fun stuff? What are some things that you want for Christmas? And they kind of hem-hawed a little bit about it. And then Christy says this. She goes, what if we had a new baby in our family for Christmas? And I'm like, you better be talking about Jesus. Let me take a side note. I'm not making any announcements this weekend. There is nothing on the docket. No adoption things going through. No babies that we can see on the horizon, okay? That's not what I'm saying. She just likes to throw that out to mess with me every now and again and see what our kids would say. So Carice says this. She goes, sure, we could go down to Haiti and we could get some of the kids that don't have mommies and daddies and they could come and be in our family. And I would share all of my toys with them and I wouldn't yell at them and I wouldn't tell them no. We could just all play together. And we're like, that's great. You know, Christy starts getting that, she's going to start crying. If she starts crying, I'm going to start crying. You know, I'm an emotional basket case anyway. And we're just about ready to lose it in the snack bar at Sam's Club. And our daughter Lina jumps in and says, I want a puppy. I just want a puppy. I don't care about babies or toys. I just want a puppy. We're like, thanks for ruining the moment there, dear. So we got two out of three at that moment that are pretty sweet. The other one focused on a dog. The reality is those moments come on a daily basis, sometimes an hourly basis. And if we don't stop to reflect on those and look at the hearts of our children, look at the hearts of the people around us, the things that they are saying, the things that they are doing, what God is doing in our lives, we are going to miss it. There will be moments of tears for both joy and sadness. There will be moments of tremendous heartache and difficulty. There will be moments of deep spiritual truths from the mouths of children and moments of dreaming of puppies. But if we don't stop to appreciate them all, we will miss this life that God has graciously given us to live. How can we push through this life when it just seems to be getting crazier and crazier and crazier? We appreciate the moments, and we love like God loves us. Let's stand as we close in prayer today. Heavenly Father God, we are busy people. We are stressed out people. God, we know that that's not how you have called us to live. God, we're supposed to be the reflections of you to this world. And if we look just like it, there's no way that some folks will ever see who you are. And so, God, I pray that you would give us the courage and the boldness to live differently. To love like you love us. God, to appreciate all those moments, silly and serious, meaningful and not. God, give us your truths through this holiday season. And God, we thank you above all for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, it's in his beautiful name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message, All I Want for Christmas Is, with Campus Pastor Joel Craig. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at journeychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-884-7223.